this is Carmen Tyler, and you're listening to SLV Podcast with Aaron and Jim.
Hello, and welcome to SLV Podcast for the... I'm trying to remember what the date is, I just looked at it.
The
11th of June, thank you very much, Joe. How are you doing, Joe? My name's Aaron, incidentally, in case you are not familiar with who I am. And he is Joe. We've been doing this for now, officially, over 2 years. How does that sound, Joe?
Crazy, isn't it?
That is insane. Who'd have thought that, you know, way back when we first started this, we'd be doing this for as long as we have been. That's just crazy. Sponsy has just disappeared from the chat room, by the way. But there we go. This is episode, what was it, Joe, 74?
Yep.
74. Okay. And, well, it's going to be jam-packed with iPhone news. I guess you guys kind of figured that. We are probably going to touch on it in the so comedic way we normally do, I suppose. Joe, any thoughts on that? I am recording this, and you are sounding, I've got to be honest, really quite poor. But I'm sure we can motor on, and we probably won't restart it. Or even if we do restart it, we'll cut it so that you guys don't notice the difference. So...
I think they will.
Say again? They will, you reckon? Joe?
Mm.
Bit of dead air here.
I think they're going to notice.
You reckon?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows?
Well, we can but hope. That was definitely an interesting intro. Full of you...
Am I on the right settings here? Yes, I am. Good.
Full of me not being able to hear you properly at all, if I'm being completely honest.
Okay, let's move swiftly on quickly and go on to our first story.
If you like, we can certainly do.
So, this week in tech, or yesterday in tech...
Right.
2 days ago in tech?
Something like that.
Anyway, something like that. We had an announcement from Apple. And the Apple announcement was that the iPhone 2.0 is being released.
With?
GPS.
Right. I didn't hear a word of that. I am sorry.
GPS and 3G... and longer battery life?
Okay.
I don't know. And it's cheaper.
It is. Is that going to make you want to get one?
No.
Okay, I've got to ask the question probably on everybody's lips here. Why?
Okay, I have an iPod.
Right.
I have a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good sense of direction.
Okay.
Kind of. So I've got everything that I need, I think, with regards to everything that the iPhone is offering me, all ready.
Okay, but this is, I mean, you're talking about, I'm just going to read verbatim here from Gizmodo. The new model, which is apparently almost identical to the original, is going to be a tiny bit thinner at the edges, thicker in the middle, and a smidgen heavier. But the price-wise, pay-as-you-go pricing is yet to be announced by O2, but that's a good thing because it's going to be on pay-as-you-go, whereas the original iPhone wasn't. And the 3G 8GB model will come free with the £45 or £75 per month contract. And it's going to cost £99 with a £30 or £35 per month contract. So if you're spending, I'm going to say, at least £30 per month pay-as-you-go, then you might want to consider an iPhone. Because you're going to get loads of free stuff with it as well, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not holding out all that much hope on the promise. I don't know. It sounds good. I'm still... fence grass this one. The
you're still
original
on the fence.
iPhone was too expensive.
Okay.
And the second one, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it. I'm a huge fan of Apple, but I'm just not feeling the love with this one. Just not. I don't know.
Okay. But, I mean, that's you, and I've got to say, personally speaking, if I was still on contract, which I'm not, incidentally, right now, this may change my mind and make me want to go to O2, then, yeah, I'm not on contract at the moment, but this may be a way of getting me back onto contract, because this is a, quite frankly, gorgeous phone.
Yeah, I do agree with you. It's the best-looking phone on the market by probably a long way,
mm-hmm.
and I am on contract. I will... My contract... Changed.
Your contract... Sorry?
My contract is already up.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know how you're stuck to a contract for, like, a year or so, isn't it? So
It's got to be a year or 18 months now, isn't it, in the UK?
Well, with me, I've had the same phone now for 2 and a bit years, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Same contract. I'm happy with it.
Okay.
I don't pay mega expensive bills, so I'm happy with it. I don't know what really else to say there.
Okay.
Moving on.
No. It's all good. It's all good. I mean, if Vodafone had won it though, you'd been over there. You would be over there like a shot, I would imagine.
I tell you, it does bother me that it's on O2.
Really? Why?
Well, because it's a little bit... Their contract is quite expensive, isn't it?
Well, starts, as it says here, on this... the link will be in the show notes, so you guys can read it. But it starts here, but look at things, at about £30 a month. And it'll cost you £99 for the phone.
What's the pay-as-you-go option?
Pay-as-you-go is obviously going to be a ton more expensive, and I think on O2 you currently get free text messages and things like that, but it's... They haven't really gone with prices yet. But so, I mean, it would be a case of trying to stay tuned with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Pay as you go, I might be interested. Okay. But then I've got to buy the damn phone, haven't I?
You would have to, yeah. And you know that's going to cost you at the very least £300. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly is what I thought. Indeed, yeah. But actually talking about that, O2 obviously now have won the contract, just moving this story on a bit more to another little item to sort of marry quite nicely with this on Gizmodo. O2 are going to offer free upgrades to existing iPhone owners to the new one. Which I think is actually, you know, a fair thing to do, if I'm being honest. I don't know what happened there, there was a bit of a beep there. Don't know if that was anything to do with yourself. Was it you, was it? Okay. And, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that's quite a good thing on O2's, or for O2 to do. I mean, it's not every mobile phone or cell phone company that will give you the option to, you know, upgrade to an existing iPhone. Oh, sorry, to the new version, sorry, I should say.
Yeah, I think that's a cool deal. What I hope this means is that all the old iPhones are dirt cheap.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean... Surely you could get it now really, really cheap. And if you can unlock it, I'm in.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, yeah, fair point. The thing is, though, is the only place you can be able to find one now is on eBay, presumably.
Oh, are they on eBay yet?
Well, I would imagine so. You've got people, obviously, probably are still within contract with O2. And probably have an 18-month contract, but I would imagine that's not going to stop them from trying to sell it so that they can get the 2.0 version. I take it you're having a look here.
Hells yeah.
I somehow thought you might be. But
oh,
no,
that's
I guess
cool.
For me, I mean, at the end of the day, if it was another operator or mobile phone network that was going to be doing this instead of O2... I think the O2 would have had to put another business plan into progress, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Should we move on while you find how much it currently costs? Yeah, I think we should. Okay, I'm going to move on and leave you
I've just been spotted.
eBay thing.
It's £207 if you want one on eBay.
£207
on any network.
So it's been unlocked as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unlocked 20 network and has been jailbroken too, which means you can use any of your own applications.
But the thing with that is obviously Apple are going to be running out some new software for their new iPhone, and obviously as soon as that goes live, your jailbroken 1.0 iPod, sorry, not iPod, iPhone, is then not going to be jailbroken.
I don't know about that. I think it's an optional download.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, most of their updates are optional, but obviously if you want the latest software, you're going to be knackered. But having said that, most, you know, within like 2 or 3 days, somebody's gone and broken it anyway, I would imagine. That's what normally happens anyway. So the BBC are going to be offering their entire catalogue online. This is every programme of everything they've ever made being available via BBC iPlayer 24/7. I'm not aware of any other television company worldwide doing this. I'm aware of, for example, NBC have got, I think it's Hulu, if I remember rightly. Obviously not available to us in the UK, but I hear it's a pretty good download streaming service for NBC. And the BBC obviously went into this and did their own thing called iPlayer, if you're not familiar with that in the UK. And the BBC now are getting set to offer their entire catalogue and back catalogue online streaming. I thought you might like that, Joe.
I do like that.
Because you are quite the iPlayer fan, are you not?
I'm a big fan of the iPlayer, yeah.
Okay. When you do actually use it, just out of curiosity, what do you tend to watch?
I watch a lot of documentaries. You know, like, I mean, it's not on there now, but Louis Theroux, when it was on there, that was good.
Okay.
And I watched the Tanya Byron thing about addiction to video games. That was quite good.
Okay.
Yeah, I've watched a few shows, but I wouldn't say specifically. I don't go out of my way to watch things like, you know, I don't watch anything other than, I just browse what's there, see what I like, and then if there's nothing there, I don't bother.
Okay.
Oh, I see one show I do quite like, Working Lunch. I do sometimes watch that on the iPlayer.
Working Lunch? Since when were you into business stuff? Anyway, moving on. My only question with regards to this is, what's this going to mean to the UK and the, you know, the thing they call, fondly, the TV licence? For me, I don't know if you would agree or disagree with this, Joe, but I can only see that being, this now being the downfall of the TV licence.
Well, it's very difficult to say. I would like to see an end to the TV licence. It's a completely outdated...
very, very, very much so. Quite frustrating.
It's much like a fishing licence, isn't it?
It is. And the thing is that you must own a TV licence if you want to be able to watch broadcast television in the UK.
Yeah.
And for me, that's one of the most frustrating things, because what that TV licence does, again, if you guys aren't that familiar with it, is it gives funding to the BBC to make their programmes and do whatever it is they do best. The problem with that is in the UK, we don't have the option to opt out of paying for it. So that means it's effectively a subscription charge we're paying to the BBC, even if we choose not to watch their channel. Or their channels, or listen to their radio stations, or whatever. For me, I think that's a bad show.
Yeah, there must be a better way of funding it.
I mean, even if it is only through advertising, I don't have a problem with that.
I do. I wouldn't like to see adverts on the channel, because I like the fact that there's no adverts on the BBC. But I think if you have to fund it that way, then so be it, you know. I don't think it works right now the way it is working. I don't think it... I wouldn't say it doesn't work, I just think that, you know, it's an outdated concept, this idea of a TV license. It's not going to work if you offer everything through broadband, unless you start asking for broadband customers to pay TV licenses, and then no one's going to go...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, just for me, I guess it's just a bit ridiculous. Still, in this day and age, we're still having to pay a TV licence. And for me, this is just... I mean, I can see ITV Obviously, the BBC's main opposition with regards to broadcast television in the UK. I can see ITV doing the same thing, just to try and compete. I guess for me, on the positive side of things, I haven't seen all of the Top Gears yet. Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, you could. There's a massive back catalogue on them.
Well, if there is, you know, I really wouldn't mind being able to watch it. Same as, for example, 40 Towers. I don't think I managed to see all them. I know that's like a sin, but I haven't seen all of 40 Towers yet, so that would be, I think that would be good to perhaps check out at some point.
There's only 12.
Is that all there is? I thought there was a lot more than that. I thought there was
they only ran for one season, I think.
Hi, this is Carmen Tyler, and you're listening to SLV Podcast with Aaron and Jim.
Games Weasel with Matt Cook. Hi, it's Matt from Games Weasel. On this week's show, I rock out with Rock Band on the Xbox 360, finally get to race around with Mario Kart on the Wii, have a look at the new Narnia game from a rather posh castle, and you can win copies of The Incredible Hulk for the DS. It's an incredible show at GamesWeasel.com.
Hi, my name is Ella Harrison. I'm calling about the little name tags, stickers put in that I need. I need the $15. I see you got a number here, PNP04102. Thank you.
Okay. Yet another weird.
Okay.
Yeah, another weird voicemail we've had in. I thought I'd share that with you. In case you wanted to check out the rest of them, you can probably do that over at drop.io/SLV podcast drop. And there's also a chat room now live on the site, slvpodcast.co.uk, where you can chim around with other people while we do this thing live. All good stuff. But there we are, should we move on?
Yes.
Okay, where do you want to go next?
Well, there's that new Samsung phone.
Oh yeah, to rival Apple and their release. I think they may have gone a bit too early live with this. Possibly, from my own personal point of view, for me, I think Apple sort of dominated the whole Worldwide Developers Conference thing. Sorry, you know what I mean. And for them to come out with this now, I think they're just trying to catch a bit of a wave here with regards mobile phones. In your opinion, would I be right in saying that? I mean, this looks like quite a nice phone. Don't get me wrong. But it does look very much like an iPhone. It's in case you're wondering which one we're talking about. We're talking about the is it Omina SGH -i900 from Samsung. And like I said, I've got to say, it does look quite nice. It does appear to be touchscreen. I don't know if you can see anything to the contrary on that, Joe. But yeah, it does look to be touchscreen, and it does look quite nice. But my only problem with, obviously, the fact that they've gone live with this now is obviously the fact that, well...
The iPhone is just around the corner.
Yeah, and I think they're just trying to ride that wave of, you know, brand new smartphones coming out.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens with this phone. I'm not sure how well it can do. And it depends on how many waves they can make on their own Steam, really, doesn't it? I think when Apple drop news like this, it does sort of create a lot of waves, and the iPhone...
Right.
Problem is, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but this isn't... I don't know. The Samsung just... And Samsung's brand, I don't think they've got the same kind of love as the Apple fanboys. I don't think I've ever heard of a Samsung fanboy.
No, I've got to agree with you. I don't think I've ever seen one, if I'm being honest. I mean, there is a few people out there that like their TVs, but I think a lot of that's got to do with, you know, the fact they're shiny. But let's move on, shall we?
Everything's shiny from Samsung. It's great. They did start that whole design thing going.
They did, yeah.
Having said that, though, Samsung design or Apple design, I think I would choose the Apple design over the Samsung design.
Would you?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Samsung... I don't know. It's difficult to say.
Okay. Well, while you ponder on that, let's move on to Panasonic's Blu-ray player. The DMP-BD50. Which is brand new out into the UK. Does look, again, very, very nice. This is going to be their one of their sort of high-range ones. Again, I don't know if you can see this, Joe, but it's going to give you full HD playback at 1080p. It's also going to give you true HD for Dolby and DTS, and it's going to come with 7.1 surround sound in addition to picture-in-picture applications, apparently. And this is also going to be running BD Live, which if you're used to your PS3 by now, you would have, and if you've updated it via the internet, you would have seen it, and you would possibly have used it by now.
HD DVD Live. I thought that was such a good idea.
You mean BD Live?
Yeah, well, I remember about 2 years ago seeing a downloadable content from the HD DVDs.
Right.
Or four HD DVDs. These are the exact same thing, except instead of putting like Xbox Live, this is Blu-ray Disc Live. I think this is great. I think this is... they've totally ripped it off.
Yeah.
And they've even used the same name. That's amazing. But it is such a cool... it's a really cool product and a really cool service, and it really is the next way to watch movie content, really. Being able to download from the net, I mean, and not only that, it just looks... I mean, this particular player looks the business. Yeah, very, very nice.
It does look very, very nice. I've got to agree with you. And would probably fit quite nicely underneath your nice clear glass black TV stand. Moving on. I don't know if you can still hear me.
You dropped there, Aaron. Okay. Hello.
I do apologise about that. These things I can't avoid. But let's move on. Getting into games, or games-ish, I suppose, we should really make mention to a subpar graphics chip that's been blamed for the Red Ring of Death.
Have I read the story, Aaron. It's bumpkus.
It's bumpkus, you reckon?
Yeah, it's rubbish.
What makes you say it's rubbish?
Well, first thing is... okay, let's quote... so that people know what we're talking about, let's quote where this website is, wherever it is.
It's Engadget, I think it was on.
Yeah, point me in the direction of the page that we're reading.
2 seconds. No, it's not. It's an Arts Technica site.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's under their one of the things for what they normally do.
Anyway, I get, first of all, there was no recall of the Xbox 360. That was the first thing. Second thing is, Microsoft worked with ATI on the graphics chip.
Right.
And it was old. I mean, this console isn't new. Xbox 360 is a very old console. Back then, the chips were hotter, more power hungry, and they would generally... the reason why you get the Red Ring of Death is fairly well known. The heat, as it's passing over the top, makes the chips on the top, on the actual components, expand.
Right.
And it causes a board warp, and the board, literally the motherboard, warps as two temperatures. Or, you know, one side's hot, one side's cold. Very similar to the way your...
Very similar to what, sorry?
The Xbox does the exact same thing.
Okay.
It's well known. I can't believe we're even reporting on this. It's just more reasons to put the Red Ring of Death on the front page of Ars Technica or Uber Gizmo or wherever else we're pointing at the moment.
Okay.
I do think genuinely that Microsoft's customer service on this has been absolute top-notch. It's cost them billions, or from what I've heard, it has cost them a lot of money just to out-and-out replace every single Red Ring of Death that ever occurs, because it is a fairly common issue.
Right.
But Microsoft have done that. They have actually replaced every single Red Ring of Death Xbox that's out there, so what's the issue here? I myself found it very inconvenient, but at the same time, I could...
sorry, you dropped then.
Took my Xbox,
say that again, you dropped again, sorry.
And brought it back. Hello?
You dropped. Say that again.
Oh, I was just going to say that they took my Xbox, picked it up from where I work. It was away for about a week, and then it came back again. And it was inconvenient, and I would have preferred to not have that experience. But
okay.
At the same time, I got a new computer, essentially. So, and a month free Xbox Live, which I was quite happy about.
Well, I am aware of the fact that we are running a bit shy on time here. So I'm going to move on to the next story. And say that, again, Ars Technica reporting, a bit of a big bundle going on for you guys over in the States. Obviously nothing to do with us, but I thought I'd quickly mention it, as most of our listeners are from the other side of the pond, as it were. And that's that Walmart are giving away a $100 gift card with every PS3 purchase, including a Metal Gear Solid 4 bundle as well. I've got to say, a bit of a bargain.
Yeah, we're not getting that SKU, are we?
No, the Metal Gear Solid 4 bundle one.
Yeah.
No, not that I'm aware of.
It was briefly advertised on Play.com, but I think it's gone.
Oh, is it?
I shall have a quick look.
Okay. While you're doing that, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read verbatim what Ars Technica are saying here.
Go for it.
Apparently Metal Gear Solid 4 is going to be coming out, I think, tomorrow. And they're going to take a look at the PlayStation 3 hardware and software, and they've found that things have come a long way since launch, and things are only going to get better. This might be a good time to get a system. In fact, this week at Walmart, yes, I know they're evil, they're offering a gift card worth $100 with the purchase of any Blu-ray player, and that, of course, includes a PS3. Which is obviously great timing, considering obviously you've got Metal Gear Solid 4, coming out again. And obviously you've got then the DualShock controller as well, obviously with the 6-axis. So that is a bit of a bargain, I've got to be honest. And if that was going to be coming out over here, well, I've got to be honest, I would, if I hadn't already bought a PS3, I would probably have bought it then. Especially if Tesco's made.
We had the rumour that the PlayStation 3 is having a new version with a 180 gig hard drive.
Yes, and I've also heard the 160 gig hard drive rumour as well.
That's the 160. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware, but in the States, and you guys, I'm sure, can confirm this for me. You guys have got an 80 gig version as well, right? In fact, over there, available from places like Best Buy and Walmart right now. Whereas, obviously, us in the UK, we've only got the piddly 40 gig version, which is, I've got to be honest, quite frustrating. But hey, these things are sent to try us.
Absolutely.
Indeed. There was another quick thing you wanted to mention as well, Joe. I am a little bit concerned about time here, so I think we should really probably mention it when we come back from music quickly before we wrap this mother up. This you may or may not have heard before. One of your favourite artists, Joe, somebody called Matthew Ebel, and one of his more up and atom songs. I think this is Lost My Way, When It Wants to Kick In. This would be absolutely fantastic, because I'm pandering right now. I probably should let you know, you can catch more of his stuff over at MatthewEbel.com. That's Ebel, spelled EBEL.com. And this song was found over at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Obviously, you know, put out there by Podshow. But anyway, I'm waffling. Hopefully this is going to kick in shortly. We seem to be having a major technical issue here. Quite annoying when this happens. It's so frustrating, eh, Joe?
Yeah.
finally. Right, here we go. Yeah, so this then is going to be Matthew Ebel with, I believe, Lost My Way.
When I woke up hungover again, and I vow right now it's the last time I give in. So
So to commemorate, I'll go out and tie one on. I guess I'll quit drinking when you're gone. If I put off till tomorrow what I wanted yesterday, I'll just sit here till the future come and slap me in the face. If I don't change my direction and I float out here in space, then you can't say that I've ever lost my way. Well, I finally gave up smoking too. At least I thought that's what I told myself I'd do. Then in a cloud of smoke, my car moved to L.A. My girlfriend got towed away. Well, if I put off till tomorrow what I wanted yesterday, come on, I'll just sit here till the future come and slap me in the face. If I don't change my direction and I float out here in space, then you can't say that I've ever lost my way. Well, I'm tired of being a whipping boy, and I'm tired of being fortune's favorite toy. So when the sun comes up, well, I'll grab it with both hands. Lord knows I need a change of plans. And if I put off till tomorrow what I wanted yesterday, I'll just sit here till the future come and slap me in the face. If I don't change my direction and I float out here in space, then you can't say that I've ever lost my way. Then you can't say that I've ever lost my way.
From the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. That was Matthew Ebel with Lost My Way. Joe, how you doing? Bit laggy, apparently. Do apologise for that. Hopefully things will iron themselves out. You wanted to quickly get into this Google Gears thing, I understand.
Yes. I did, yeah. Google have finally announced support for Firefox 3. It's good news for...
Yeah, I've completely lost you there, mate. That's quite frustrating. 2 seconds, I'm going to see if I can mute the old ending there, and go for it again.
Rolling out support for Firefox 3, the new version of Firefox, which is on its way.
Okay, awesome. I haven't actually had, for me, the update myself to Firefox 3. Still running on Firefox 2, I've got to say, I love it. Myself, I do love it, and apparently one of our listeners live has an issue with Firefox 3 as well. Unfortunately, we can't really get into that now, though. Quite frustrating, because we are now about to end the show. The only thing left to say, I suppose, is stay tuned. My name's Aaron. His name is... Joe. You can catch us, obviously, at slvpodcast.co.uk, where obviously all the shows are there to be heard and done with what you feel is necessary. Send us stuff in drop.io/slvpodcastdrop. You can get in touch with us. Obviously, all our contact details are available at the blog at slvpodcast.co.uk, including ways to, you know, email us and ring us and all sorts of other stuff like that. Anything else you wanted to say, Joe?
See you soon.
Is that it? That was pathetic, wasn't it?
What else was there?
We'll talk to you later. Take care, folks. To do more for you. Have you got a promo you want to get out there? Want to find a promo? Want to play a promo? Then promotime.podomatic.com is the place for you. What we're trying to create here is a community where you can access any promo you want, and by listening to your promo here, it gives you the opportunity to extend your audience. If you play a promo in your show, let us know, then the owner will be told. And as the owner, it's down to you to thank the player on air, getting you more traffic in the end. Nip on over, take a look. Promotime.podomatic.com. You know it makes sense.